You know, Jesse always asks me, as we're coming back from break, are you ready? And usually I am. But I'm especially ready for Brian Bulaga today with my Iowa hoodie. What's the name of this bird? What do they call this bird?
Pterodactyl.
He's got a name, though, right? The Hawkeye, he's got a name?
The punter.
Henry or Hank or Harry or something? Well, this guy's got a name. His name is Brian Bulaga. America needs farmers, and Wilde and Tausch needs Brian Bulaga. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Morning. And, Jesse, that's Herky. That's Herky,
Herky!
The Hawkeye.
Herky.
There you go.
That's good.
You know,
Herky Jerky.
Like, you didn't have a football team at your college, and now, you know, you're a big Badger fan. I mean, I know and respect the Badgers mascot, Bucky. I mean, I even know that.
That rascal.
You know, let's show a little respect, right?
Okay.
Let's
just show a little respect, fairness, you know, in fairness,
a little mutual respect.
No. In fairness, it was me who didn't know what his name was. It wasn't Jesse's fault.
He said the punter. He probably said no points in a bowl game 2 years ago or whatever.
I don't know. All right. So his name is Herky. Herky the Hawkeye. That's who I have on my hoodie today. Herky the Hawkeye. All right.
That's a nice sweatshirt, by the way.
It's a throwback. Nice, I love the old school logos. I'm a big fan of the old school
logos.
What's
the hat? We had the YouTube comments thinking you're wearing a Michigan hat with an Iowa hoodie.
No. Yeah, it's a Michigan hat.
No. Milwaukee Brewers. I'm on this Brewers hat kick. I got a bunch of different ones. And this is the one they wore when they first became the Brewers after they'd been the Seattle Pilots. It was just the classic M. There's photos of Robin Yount, my favorite player, wearing it in his rookie
season.
Looks
like Bo Schembechler's hat back in the 80s.
Yeah, different. I'm here to tell you the M is different, but that's okay. None of us here went to Michigan. Some of us went to a superior institution, the University of Wisconsin. Others went to Bradley in Iowa. But Brian always makes us smarter when he's on the program. Make me smarter for my sit down. Well, not sit down. I mean, we'll be sitting down. I assume, be behind a podium. From talking to Goody today, what's on your mind when Goody faces questions after the season? What would you, if you'd like to put in some requests, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I mean, obviously I'm an O-line stan, so that's kind of my thing. I want to know what the direction of that group is. In all honesty, like, what is the direction? And do we look at the major changes we made with personnel last year as kind of a little bit of a letdown? Like, do you consider that, was that a positive in your mind? And to me, that's the question that I want to know. Because if we looked at it, I guess if upper management and the scouting department and the guys that, you know, put this thing together look at how that group performed based on the personnel they acquired and drafted as a plus, then we gotta have some questions about it, right? We got to talk about that a little bit, because to get this offense going in the direction it needs to go, those five need to perform. And if we can't do what we brought in all these giant, massive offensive linemen to do, and that's run block for a back that likes going downhill, if that's not working, then what did we make this personnel change from an offensive line unit standpoint, from how it's always been in Green Bay? What's the direction we're going? And to me, that's what I'm really interested in hearing, because we all know, right? Sheed's gone. Sean Ryan most likely gone. Elton most likely gone. You're now moving Jordan Morgan to left tackle, which we don't really know how that's even going to go.
Nope.
So what's the plan for this group? That's my biggest question. Like, what's the plan? What's the identity of this group?
Hey, Blue. Blue, what's – because we talked about this last week when you were saying the move was to go bigger – Belton, mm-hmm. Banks. Is that still the philosophy? Because I think you obviously have a, you know, that position, it made my number two. And before you leave today, we want your three. Jesse, what are you posting up on the old interweb? Three biggest question marks for Brian Gutekunst about the roster? Yeah, is that what it was?
This was your list from yesterday. There you go. Top three issues facing Goody this offseason.
And I guess the other thing I'd love to know is how aligned are you with the head football coach on what you're looking for in offensive linemen? What is the biggest thing you want? Because it feels as if they want the athletic guys, like when you played and when you guys brought in Billy Turner and you had those guys that could get up on the second level. And then it felt like that shift after the Eagles dominated us up front. Where are you at with that? Is it a mix? Is it a hybrid? Or are you acknowledging that you need to get more athletic and not as big? Those are, I think, where I'm at with the O-line.
I'm with you. That's exactly where I'm trying to go with this. Like, I feel that if you're going to go big, like he has and like they have in the draft and with free agent signings, there better be one thing that's working and it works all the time, and that's the downhill run game. Like, that needs to work. That has to work. Because if it doesn't, then you've sacrificed something else for that, and that is pass protection. And we've seen that in the last, because it was really strong last year, pass protection. Like, let's be honest about it. Like, the pass pro was very good for Jordan Love last year with the group that was there. Make the change this year, wasn't as good. I mean, it just wasn't. I mean, it just was not as good. He was under duress quite a bit. There were games that were clean at times, right? I mean, not every game was bad. But for the most part, when we had to have certain, you know, just be in straight passing situations, right? It happens in a bunch of games throughout the year. You have to throw the football. We were in trouble at times, and it was not good. I mean, again, I always look at the last game. The last game of the season is the biggest impression, and unfortunately, that's the way it goes. And in the last game of the season, the Bears pressured the heck out of us in the second half when we threw the football.
Didn't have any answers.
And we didn't have any answers. We couldn't pick up pressures. Yep. We couldn't pass block one-on-one. And that, to me, is a big issue. When you have what we think, and I think everyone here agrees, is a pretty damn good quarterback that can deliver the ball on time and throw strikes and do everything that this offense needs to do when he's called upon. So, yeah, that's a big question for me. Like, what direction is this thing going from an offensive lineman standpoint?
You said something there that I'm trying to think of how to ask it of Goody, because you both, as former great right tackles, made this point. It felt like you react to the last game of the season. Last year, they reacted to the last game of the season by saying we need to get bigger and bulkier on the offensive line so we don't get bully balled by people like the Eagles. Now, a year later, we're still talking about the offensive line, and now we're talking about the protection that it failed to provide in the second half, when I understand they lost the game by giving up 25 points in the fourth quarter, but they also lost the game in the first four series offensively of the second half when they managed 19 total yards and one first down.
Yes.
So I want to ask something to the effect of, how much can the last game of the season, when it is a playoff loss, impact your thinking? And do you have to guard against an overcorrection based on what happened? Because, and look, I don't want this to be about our opinion, but I think based on the evidence we got from last season, this past 2025 season, there was an overcorrection on the offensive line. You moved the left guard out of his spot to center, where before he got injured, he didn't play great. And your big prized free agent signing, while he was healthier in the second half and played a little bit better, probably didn't play great either. And he's a big dude. And now you have an opportunity to completely overhaul your offensive line again. Like, not to be whatever, but pick a lane. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how do I... Yeah. That's what I feel like we need to get at when it comes to that aspect of this team. Is that wrong?
No, it's not wrong. And the And the
Lane
thing,
Taylor, Lane Johnson. Yeah. A lot of lanes. Pick.
Brad Lane.
A lot of lanes. Yeah, there's a lot of lanes.
Lane Grindel. Brewers announcer.
He's an announcer.
Brian.
Brian's like, can I just get my thought in?
Well, you're losing me now with announcing. Well,
sorry, like, Herky.
See, here we go.
If he's Herky, that makes Jesse Jerky, I believe.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, we could talk about an overreaction to the last game, but that was all over the tape. The breakdowns in protection and lack of pass protection was all over the tape compared to 2024, right? Like, it's not like it was a like it's equal, and then just the last game there were breakdowns. Like, that's not the case. And then I get it, injuries impact that. You lose Zach Tom, and he's out for I don't know how many games this season, but you lose him, and then you lose stability at that spot where then you can slide things. But at the same time, you make the decision, right, to go with Sheed over Jordan Morgan, and Sheed struggled down the stretch as well in pass protection. So, like, it's not like this was a one-off in the NFC Champion – or not the NFC Championship game. Gosh, I don't know why I said
wild
that.
Card.
In the wild card round. This was on the tape. Like, this was – this wasn't, you know, an accident. And that, to me, is the question, because – Tausch, you said it. Is the scouting department and who they're bringing in, right, aligned with what Matt wants to do with the offense and how he sees it and how, when he originally came in, how that group was built out and players that were acquired to run that scheme? And it has changed dramatically. It has. I mean, and whether you say that it hasn't, or we don't really look at it that way. We look at it more of based on our – what's the thing that Goody always drafts on? It's like the
RAS. R-A-S.
Yes, the RAS. That's just what our RAS point or scale told us. Like, that's not true. I mean, there are body types that Ted Thompson drafted specifically. Like, he drafted certain guys, and it was the same. Like, you looked at guys that got brought in, very similar, all very similar, all played to a certain style, all were able to adapt to what the offense wanted. This is, like, different. You have a mix of guys that it just doesn't seem to – it doesn't seem to flow. Like, you have Zach Tom, one of the guys that was there when Dave was there, for God's sake, right? I mean, like, Dave was there with him. That was when that certain body style was being drafted. He's your best offensive lineman. Like, there's not a – it's Elton, when he was healthy and obviously playing in his preferred position, was drafted my first year. That was a body type and a certain style of player that was brought in, and he was very, very good. So, like, there's a rhyme and a reason for why you bring in certain styles and body types of players to fit a scheme, because you can't make a mauler into a pass blocker that does it 40 times a game. It just doesn't work that way. Like, I know maybe that's being a little judgmental, but it's just the truth. I mean, it just is. Everyone can point to the Eagles the year we lost to them. They ran the hell out of the ball. That's what they did. They ran the ball. And they did so much play action that no one was going to pass rush them anyway, because they were so scared of stopping the run in Saquon. So, like, that's why their pass blocking grade was so good. Now, the you know, Lane Johnson gets hurt. The run game's not working as well in Philly. What struggles? The pass game in Philly. I mean, it's just I know I'm not like recreating the wheel here, but it's very evident to see patterns and what fits your scheme and what doesn't. And that, to me, is that's my biggest question. And I have other ones, obviously, but, like, that to me is the biggest one.
Brian, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get your three issues or concerns. We'll give you what Tausch gave and I gave, because Jesse made these fancy schmancy AI logos, right? There you go. There's Tausch's right there.
You don't have to tell everyone it's AI. We could just pretend like I worked real hard on these.
But no one who listens to the show regularly thinks you went through the effort of doing this,
no,
right?
They all, everybody
but
knows
I did go through the effort of doing it. I just
you did. You
I had my assistant help, and my assistant is ChatGPT.
Yes. Well, you did a great job of doing that. Just like
has ChatGPT ever fired somebody? Have they said, I am not going to work for you?
Not yet.
Like, you're too demanding. You ask me too much. I'm taking a beat.
I resign?
Yeah. Like, sorry, Jesse, but I can't work under these conditions. You don't let me have unlimited candy from the candy dish.
No, Jesse?
You're thinking of me, not ChatGPT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's Jesse instead of ChatGPT.
Good one.
Tausch.
Not bad.
While ChatGPT takes the rest of the day off, they could head over to the Pickler and get a couple of games of pickleball in.
Indeed, the Pickler Menominee Falls right off Appleton Avenue, an indoor pickleball spot. Weather, not an excuse, even though it has been crappy out. You won't be able to play any of it. Not when you have the Pickler right in your neighborhood. It's built for everybody, beginners, former athletes, anyone that just wants to get some movement in. Offering free learn-to-play clinics every Monday and Saturday at noon. No experience, no gear. Just come on in. They will teach you everything. You're going to get a great workout. You're going to meet a bunch of awesome people, and it's something that you're definitely going to come back for. They even got a West Allis location coming up soon. Stop on in to the Pickler in Menominee Falls or contact the club directly, starting online at thepickler.com. That's PICKLR.com.
More with Brian Bulaga and Herky and Jerky next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
We roll on with Brian Bulaga, the pride of Iowa. All right, now, Jesse, let's recap. Because, frankly, I don't remember what I said. But you made these lovely graphics without any help from any digital platform whatsoever. You just worked so hard to make them look so nice. What were my and Tausch's big three of, how did we describe this, priorities of the offseason?
Top three issues facing Packers GM Brian Gutekunst this offseason, which maybe we could have phrased that differently, but that's how Tausch brought it up when he teased it yesterday. Mm. So Jason's list, offensive line number one, corner number two, interior defensive line number three. That's Jason's list. An old T's list, special teams number one, offensive line number two, defensive line number three.
Yeah, old boy was very passionate about needing to upgrade the return game. I disagreed with him, which has been known to happen from time to time with the big fella. But I agree with you on special teams. I didn't put it in my top three, but it was basically the others receiving
because nobody
votes.
Ever. Here's the deal. And before I let Brian get into his. Here's the deal. Nobody ever wants to because, oh, it's third place. Oh, it's not that big a deal. So you're not going to prioritize it. And I had a bunch of people on Twitter, corner, 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 corner. Yeah, I'm not arguing we couldn't use a corner. But if you really want to change something and get it better than being 25th or worse every blanking year, you have to prioritize and do it. So if you're going to just sit here and give it lip service, well, I also think special teams needs to be better, but I'm not going to put it in my top three. Well, then then you don't. You get what you prioritize, you get what you emphasize, and if you don't want to, then don't complain about how bad the special teams are. So that's all I'm saying. I said I'm going to prioritize it because I saw, and Brian, I just see a team that is playing for a world championship this weekend that did prioritize special teams and did win a game. They were down 16 blanking points, and that got them home field, that got them to a Super Bowl with a return guy that took one back in that game and in the first playoff game. And those things mattered because John Schneider said, you know what? I'm not going to just say, well, yeah, we'll get to special teams. I'm actually going to go and prioritize it, get it done. And, oh, by the way, we're going for a championship. Go ahead.
Brian, your response, and then I'm going to ask you both a question after Brian's done.
You know who else prioritized special teams is New England. New England does it as well.
Where are they at this weekend?
Yeah. Yeah,
the Bahamas.
And by the way, before you continue, their first championship with Tom Brady, they went up to Pittsburgh and out special. Brown scored a touchdown. They won that game because of special teams. Vinatieri making a kick in the tuck game. Like, continue. That's why it's infuriating when Jason says what he just said there and acts like he's trying to emphasize it, but he can't even put it in his top three list that ChatGPT put out. But then he's going to say he's prioritizing it. No, you didn't. Continue.
Yeah, so I'm with you on special teams. I'll go from bottom to top because I think special teams is a priority. I mean, being ranked in the bottom third of the league every mm-hmm. year is an issue. Mm-hmm. Like that's an issue. So mm-hmm. I think we have questions at kicker, right? I think that's a valid question, which is a big part of the team. That's points. That's points all the time. So mm-hmm. that's an issue. I think how we cover kickoffs and punts and things like that, that's an issue. What personnel are we putting out on the field? Do we have the personnel behind the guys that definitely aren't doing special teams to play that role, right? Like that's a big deal. Normally that's a young player or a veteran that's a backup that goes and does those things. Like that's normally the guys that play special teams. They take a lot of pride in it. That's normally how that works. So I'm going to go special teams at three. I'm going to go I'm worried about corner. That's an issue. And I think that's captain obvious, but I'm going to go with Jason in interior defensive line, because to me, that is the biggest. You're a Wyatt away from having another season like this one, right? Wyatt gets hurt, you're looking pretty bleak and slim in there. Let's mm-hmm. just call it what it is. So that to me is a big deal. You need to have more than one dominant, you know, guy that can stop the run. You got to have multiple guys that you can keep those guys fresh, bring them in and out, and do things like that. And to me, that's a big deal. And we're in a division that runs the football. They run the ball. The Bears run the ball. The Lions, they want to run the ball. I don't know what Minnesota wants to do.
Neither do they.
Maybe they'll want to run the ball next year too. I don't know. Maybe they'll want to do that next year. But you need to be able to stop the run. And you look at who's in the Super Bowl. Seattle, they run the ball. They run it really good. Let's just call it what it is. And you got to be able to hold up against those teams and take something away. For sure take something away, and that has to be the run game. And then my first one, we spent the whole first segment on it, is the offensive line, because those guys are responsible for protecting your most valuable investment, and that's your quarterback. And to me, that's going to be the question. And the question, too, is say the left tackle move doesn't work. Say you get into mm-hmm. training camp, say you get into week one, and it's just not working. What's the plan? Where are you going mm-hmm. with it? And that to me is, because listen, I want Jordan Morgan to work out for how much he's moved around and had to do this and had to do that. And I want him to play really well there. I do. But I just don't have any, like, video
evidence.
Tape. Yes, video evidence of that being a home run right now. Like, I don't have anything to, like, feel really good about that. So if it doesn't work, what are you going to do in week three? Are we going to rotate at left tackle? Are we going to rotate guys in and out? Because, like, I'm over that, too, a little bit. Like, I'm really over that as well, the rotating of offensive linemen in and out of a game. Like, I'm really past
that
too.
Blue, let's say that does happen. Is that Belton to right tackle, and you move Zach Tom to left?
That'll probably be what they do. That'll probably be what they do.
Then who do you get at guard?
I don't exactly. Well, that's my question. That's the domino that falls, right? That doesn't work. What are you doing,
Donovan Jennings?
Yeah. Yeah.
So two quick follow-ups. One, you mentioned Devontae Wyatt. You watched the film with a much more discerning eye than I did. Is he good?
Yes.
How good? Like, he's a first-round pick. He's had injury issues each of the last 2 years.
Yep.
They have him on the fifth-year option.
Why doesn't he get the Christian Watson treatment?
That's another fair question. I mean, a guy fell on his leg
good.
And broke
when
it.
When he's healthy, he's good. I mean, hey, you know what? Christian Watson, when he's healthy, he's really good.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, his injury this year, there's not much he could do about it. That was bad friendly fire. I mean, that's
not great. Mm-hmm. So he's good. Yeah. All right. So he's a guy that if he stays healthy this season, you would extend. You would pay him.
I would.
Okay. All right.
Because it's just like offensive linemen. When you have guys like that are good, they're hard. Like, you just can't go pluck them out of nowhere and fill them. Like, it's fill those spots. It's very hard to do.
Okay.
It's why Ted and even Goody re-signed Zach Tom for, you know, the contract he got. When you have good players in roles like that, like, you just can't let them walk and think, oh, yeah, we'll replace that. Like, it's very difficult to do.
Brian, we had this discussion yesterday. And I think the Sean Ryan, what they do with him is going to be a great case study. Because in the past, Ted Thompson would have re-signed John Runyon. A good, steady player. Not a world beater, but a good player that you know what you're going to get. And you pay market rate for him. They decided not to. And then you go get a Banks or, you know, I know it's been a couple of years, but you start jostling around. And I'll be curious. If you're a betting man, is Sean Ryan back with the Green Bay Packers? Because we just went through a litany of things that could happen. You take him out of the equation where he can play guard and center. What are you going to go with, Monk? You're going to go with that lefty that I still don't know his name? Like, what do you think happens with him?
That's a great question, because we saw what Runyon got on the market. What was it, 2 years, $6 million?
Ten.
Like,
3 years, $30 million, $10 a pop. Yep.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not talking about just running Myers at center.
Yeah, so he signed 1 year for like $2 million, and then he got an extension, which like paid him much better than that. They liked what they got from him. Now again, it's the Jets, so we question their judgment.
But I just look at stability from a position, from the center position. You knew what you were going to get from Myers week in and week out. You were going to get stability at the center position, which is very important. And this is kind of the same thing, right? Like, if you go into planning this offseason going, okay, what do we think we can get in the draft or what's going to be available on the market? We need to fill the center position is vital this season. Like, it is absolutely vital that you have a guy that's snapping the ball from day one. Like, that's very important. So, if it's me, I would try to get Sean Ryan back on a deal like Myers got with the Jets, some type of prove it deal at this, and just say, you're playing center. That's what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not here to move you around and do this and do that. Like, you're going to be a center this year. We want you to train.
So we
like
draft
a center.
Ben we Jones. Want, So we draft Benny Jones.
Until that. But like that's
And then
what,
he could be your then, backup, guard and center, and if that is how it plays out.
Yes. And then you have great depth. You have a guy that can play both guard positions. He can play center. Yep. And that's how you keep veteran depth around, by doing those types. I get it's a 1 year deal. But at the same time, like, if he doesn't have that big of a market, that's what I would look at. I mean, you asked him to do a very tough job in the late end of the season when he hasn't been doing it. And besides some mistakes, he played admirably. Like, he really did. Like, he went in there and did a tough job in the business end of the season. And to me, like, that's valuable experience for him. But if he has to start the season as the center, I would be okay with that. Like, I would feel good with that, knowing that he started OTAs and he did camp and he did everything as the starting center. He's gotten those reps, which is important, in my opinion. So if it's me, I'm trying to bring him back on a similar deal. I'm trying to do that. And then if you're Sean Ryan, you look at that as a springboard. Like, if I perform well, right, I can get paid elsewhere. If I play really good at center this year, I can springboard that into a bigger deal, whether it's here or somewhere else. That helps me out in the future. Because we all know, spotlight's on Green Bay.
Sure.
They'll always be on primetime games. They're going to have a big audience. You play well with the Packers, chances are you're going to get paid somewhere, whether it's in Green Bay,
Minnesota,
or elsewhere.
Minnesota will always pay for former Packers.
Yeah.
We've seen.
So the strategy is hope that Sean Ryan doesn't have a good market. That sounds like a great plan. Also, by the way, I appreciate you both getting after me for not having special teams on my list. I don't believe that the Packers will prioritize special teams. You guys can say that till you're blue in the face that they should. I don't think it's going to happen.
Saying what they should do, not what they will do.
I know, but I'm setting myself up to tell you. I will ask Brian Gutekunst today if there needs to be some sort of if he feels a need to have a shift in how much emphasis they put on special teams. When you look at the two teams in the Super Bowl and how much special teams has helped them, is there a reason to have a philosophical shift when it comes to special teams? Brian, I will talk to you tomorrow on the Homer Hour, I think. Until then,
yep.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate you.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
That is the great Brian Bulaga and Herky the Hawkeye, live from Florida.